Radio. Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.
So I'm Ashley. Primarily right now, my medium is film. I recently took a documentary program and have been working on documentary for the last little bit. I also am really engaged in community-based work and movement of all types, as well as interactive visuals. So it's a little bit about my practice.
Yeah, I'm Leslie, and I'm here today. Actually, I have my daughter, Leslie Jr. So if you hear her, that's my baby. Yeah, I'm an interdisciplinary artist, but I do primarily work with audio and visual, is what I say. I run a production company, I do commercial video projects, a lot of music videos, but I also do projection-based art for musicians and performance. And I am very interested in the natural world. I do try and balance my heavy tech daytime with a heavy nature downtime. So I garden a lot on the weekends, and my partner is a horticulturalist. And so gotten into herbs and things like that in the last couple of years. But I have a background in painting and in print art as well. So yeah, it's a bit about me.
Awesome. And how did you two meet or start working together?
We met at Saw Video, I believe.
Yeah.
I was a volunteer. Leslie was working there. So that's just how we met, and have worked on various projects through the years, music videos. I've helped Leslie on a bunch of music videos and just other stuff. Other video projects.
Yeah. We're like comrades in the filmmaking world. So it's just been like us having conversations over the years about like what it's like working in film, and Ashley was doing some projection work as well. She's done projections for my punk band Bonnie Doon. Yeah, so we got to talk, and that's how we started this project.
Super. So the way that I was introduced to your work first by taking this interactive workshop discussion called Green Gazing as part of the HTML's festival, which is currently all online this year. Kind of drew me in was the title of your project, Green Gazing. So I wonder what the title means, what was the inspiration? Is this a verb or an action to green gaze, or how you describe it?
I think actually the title, we were riffing off of different ideas when we were applying for grants. And had a list going. And for me, anyway, personally, I know that I was thinking and inspired a little bit by the idea of slow looking at the time. It was just something that I was thinking about. And we were just putting words together via Google Doc, I think. You know, just like in different places, putting words together in this document. And it came together that way, I believe. And so we didn't intend it to be necessarily have like that idea as an action, but I do think that we stuck with the name, and it does inform, like it reflects back on our work all the time. So it definitely has developed more of a meaning over time. And to think about, green gazing, it's a question that comes up occasionally when we think about like visuals, our visuals, and like how do we want people to experience the work. So
I think like I think Ashley like officially came up with green gazing, and it was just, it made so much sense because it's like a projection. It's so much projection and movement together. But again, like she was saying, it's an experience. Like it's so that you get in this like psychological environment while experiencing the movement with the plants, with the projections. It's supposed to be 100% immersion. And so, yeah, once you are in green gazing, like you became subject to green gazing. So it's like a cycle. You think about like meditation fields and things like that. So it's supposed to induce that kind of like immersion of meditation, and the gaze is like, you know, like a little, you know, like you're hypnotized almost.
For sure. And I like that you brought up the idea that we don't necessarily need to center ourselves in the idea of green gazing, right? Like it's pretty open, and the use of the technology, just sort of trying to bring the plants more, give them presence, more presence in the space that we share. I feel like that ties into it as well. So the gaze, it's like a totally embodied type of situation that, yeah, I think it's not restricted to the people in the room necessarily, or like the humans. There's also like the non-human element that's there.
Yeah, like with the plants, it's so much like the technology just amplifies the voice of the plant. And the idea and the whole concept of the project is to like re-green ourselves in like with technology. Like that technology is not separate from plants. Plants are not separate from humans, you know, that we are just reminding folks that, you know, even your house plants are like, I'm just gesturing a giant plant in our conversation, but they're listening to you, man.
I understand that this project has been quite a long time coming. So what were your kind of, yeah, initial questions, or how did this research kind of begin? And how did the project take form over this several years?
I like to think of the project, basically our entire artistic and otherwise relationship, is like a series of conversations over such a long time. And sometimes they're really casual conversations. I'm pretty sure our first conversation was about it was so casual, and then we just kind of came back to it. So probably, like for me, I know that at the time I was studying movement, but also studying outdoor education and thinking about eco-psychology, and I had a lot of questions come up. And then, you know, Leslie being one of my go-tos to sort of break down these like bigger questions like I was having at the time about how movement spaces were so powerful for me, especially as I was going through a difficult time with grief. But then I was also noticing a lot of how there were a lot of problems I felt like in the spaces that I was in, where it's like there was all these positive benefits for mental health and otherwise, but there was a lot of exclusion going on. It's very classist, it's very white-centered, able-bodied, like a lot of issues happening. So I had questions about that and how do you balance, but also about nature. So like as in outdoor education, it's predominantly white. It's a lot of, you know, upper and middle class, that sort of thing. And if I was interested in nature therapy at the time, but it's just trying to see like, how do you provide the benefits of not just nature, but also the idea of recreation and play, you know, to people who maybe could benefit more, like the most from it. It was totally inaccessible. Coupled with also just being interested in art and thinking about like, how do we make or create art that is also inclusive and challenging, I guess. Mm-hmm. Part some of my questions that I started with.
Yeah, I think that you like such a good point. Like, our both of our practices, I mean, can't help but intersect with justice-related principles. So yeah, casually, when Ashley and I are having these conversations of like, "Hey, how's work?" And in the film world, it's like it's not easy being a woman, and it's like because and like it's like on the daily, what kind of like microaggressions are you experiencing? Because we are primarily technicians, so it would be us having conversations, these casual conversations, and then both of us using these like meditative movement spaces. Like I was having yoga practice, which I kind of usually say it's an exercise practice because a lot of questions around like the appropriation of yoga in like this white culture, North American culture. And as technicians and people who are really interested in technology and how to use that in a healing space, Ashley had come upon these like 360 projection yoga spaces they have in like New York and LA. And we were like, this is so cool. I wish we had this where we were in Canada. But then the more research we did, we visited a couple of them. We're like, oh, these are really exploitative spaces. And how do you, as someone who's interested in justice, and Ashley and I have both done stuff with like Raw Camp for Girls. And like, I did a video camp for girls program where it's like, you're putting cameras in kids' hands to, and showing them, like mentoring them with all like femme identified leaders. Because yeah, sorry. It's just like, I've even been a part of programs where it's like, there's male leadership for kids, for young girls. And then that's a program for feminist children, and I was like, I think women should be leading this. Like, there's just so many problems in so many different areas of our work. We were like, how is it that when we even go to like escape this in meditation spaces, it's like we're seeing these reappropriations and like this white centering and like a lot of like borrowing or stealing of other cultures, and like, how do we create a movement space that is healing, that is justice oriented, so that as a participant with like different, like with intersecting identities, it's like how, because with intersecting identities and you're brought into these spaces, you're like, you can't help but always like think like, oh, like how this space might not be for me, or like how the space is occupied by like primarily able-bodied persons, and like how would this be for someone who is not like this, and anywho, I feel like I'm totally spiraled, but yeah, we wanted to create a project that uses technology to bring healing, but to never divorce it from the idea that like, you know, what community are we in, what land are we on, you know, what indigenous history should we be honoring, like, and contemporary issues that are with us that we can't keep out of our minds. So I just think that, you know, to create like a healing space that doesn't talk about those engagements would be impossible. Like, it's just not possible for us.
You mentioned that you had kind of checked out some 3D immersive projection yoga studios and saw you guys with some like enormous crystals. So yeah, I wanted to know where your research took you, and if you found any good examples, or if there was any kind of really interesting field moments for you.
I mean, I think like we checked out those different places, and we've had fun along the way, like just kind of little adventures. In terms of more impactful though, I think it's fun because like we've been talking about this project is ongoing, it's a conversation, so we sometimes drop into each other's lives at like random places, you know, like going to visit each other at our family's place or Like Leslie came and visited me when I was in residence on her, you know, like, so we just cross, and I find those to be more interesting because we get to integrate some whatever's going on with us at the time and also meet other people and explain our project, and that helps us to, you know, brings up questions and makes us reflect in these different ways. So I think for me, it's the more casual, just like along the way experiences that we've had.
Yeah, I agree that the most beneficial research was just having our own conversations in kind of our own spaces. So we went, I was like almost this time of year, we went to LA, I guess, yeah, 2 years ago. And it was beneficial because it illustrated, I guess, the problems that we thought there might be. But it was almost relieving to know that it's not that complicated and that our ideas kind of were on par, if not better, than our contemporaries, which were, you know, incredibly well funded and well, sometimes well executed. But that a lot of people's presentation images are more spectacular than their actual experiences. So for instance, yes, going in and meeting the creator of Bitty Sprout, you know, it was a really interesting experience with the breath work and plant workshop, but it was one tiny snake plant in a giant room. And it didn't infer any kind of nature. And so that was like, okay, well, that's not even close to what we want to do. And when we started talking to him about our technology and our different ideas around how we were going to be doing the plant data sampling, which we ended up using a MIDI coding device created by Tosca. He was like, yeah, that's what we did. I was like, okay, so there's no mystery here. And then doing the projection-based yoga as well, it was a very, very rudimentary projection setup. I was like, okay. So, you know, you just get a couple projects. Like, we could do this in my basement and it would be fine, you know? So it was interesting because we got to see all these things and how people present them and how people market them and how people capitalize from them. As we mentioned in the presentation, we had originally thought we were going to be using the same kind of MIDI Sprout coding, which was open source, and then it was privatized and monetized, so it became outside of our financial scope. So it kind of confers in our own practice, like, you know, follow your gut, follow your mind, follow your heart, and do your best. Like, it's not, and don't think about the other people's stuff, because it doesn't matter really in the end. It doesn't at all.
I think also some of the original intent, or a big part of what we are interested in, is building community. Like, from a personal standpoint, just like constantly being engaged in community building. And for me, originally the idea is like, you're in this big space that's supposed to be really healing, and you're moving with people, with other bodies. And it's such an opportunity to build, you know, connections and collaborations. And so often, you know, movement spaces are filled with plants and everything looks beautiful. It's like an aesthetic that's like gorgeous, etc. But it's like a service. And so that's, I think, also what we just kept finding, is that even in that intention, like projection, you feel like people, the aim is to go deep, but it remains at the surface all the time. So just trying to keep that in mind, and like, how do we engage and help people to engage with each other as well as a part of our practice, as some way to make our work different also.
guess how we were able to sustain it over the last 5 years is that, you know, through the Canadian granting process, it has provided us funding, but it also, it's such long timelines that we, you know, we kind of would be checking in around grant deadlines or around project deadlines for applications for festivals such as this. And we had another gallery exhibition that's been postponed until indefinitely. But we first received research and creation funding from the OAC. And so, but the process of applying for that, you know, that was almost a year out before we even received notification that we received the funding. The technology is a bit costly. So that was one of the reasons why we wanted to get funding. But yeah, we really, you know, it's something that moving ahead, Ashley and I are going to have conversations about where is our energy most important, you know, like we'll be the most important to spend our energy because yeah, it's an interesting landscape right now for technology-based arts and yeah, and movement practices. It's something that's going to be on hold for a while. Like we can't gather in a closed room. So one thing I'm thinking about next summer, Ashley, is getting us on a farm, you know, somewhere, let's go to the woods and get people really spread out and try and do something like that. Because I don't think indoor movement is it's on pause for a couple of years.
And I mean, I think that's okay too, because the project, even the intention of blending movement with art was almost intentionally to get us out of both spaces, to like challenge us to be not necessarily in just a gallery space, not necessarily in just a movement space. Like we were trying to open up concepts of where, like what both of the practices, you know, so that makes sense as well. And I also think that we have already been pretty intentional in terms of what we apply, like based on either a call that seems like it might fit us or we would fit with the call, or yeah, like we've applied to quite a bit, but also it has to sort of seem like it would make sense. And we sort of split the work too, like who does which application now, or try and like pass it back and forth. And from like practical standpoints, we have sort of like an online hub of the work over the many, many years. It's like pretty vast at this point. And, you know, I think like Leslie said, just like checkpoints of project deadlines and funding deadlines, and that's the practical side. And then we have that more artistic or personal practice side that also keeps us interested. Like we pass each other interesting articles or things that we, you know, that seem kind of related. So I feel like we are in conversation in so many different ways about the project, both formally and informally also.
Definitely to parcel out time. Like as you can hear, I have a young baby and time is very precious. But I think we have the luxury of a collaboration where if one of us isn't available, then the other person, and if one of us is particularly interested in working in this one gallery space or with these, you know, under this one application, then the person will take the lead. I just see it as an evolution over time as well. Like it's with the pandemic too, this was supposed to be our big presentation year. We had two major presentations scheduled and which have totally drastically changed. So I think, you know, when we first started this project, I don't think we really conceived what it would turn into or how it would evolve, or I never really thought of like an end point either. Like I guess it'd be like, oh, we show it once, but really like even doing the presentation we did at SGML's, that allowed us the space to work with a group of people and to kind of pilot it, even though it was online. So it was, that was really beneficial, and already see how we would manipulate that for the next presentation. So I think it's gotta keep going, you know, and keep growing little fronds and sprouting more leaves. And I think green gazing is gonna be like, it might be a lifetime project. And we had all, like Ashley and I both create sounds and music. So we had always intended on creating our own soundscape. And again, just the time restraints, like within our own careers and lifestyles has changed so much. Like Ashley's working so much in Toronto film, which is a really demanding sphere. So it's like, and then I have a child. So it's getting alone time together is, it's gonna come together when it's the right time. So we'll wait patiently, like a sprouting plant.
Can you maybe describe for our listeners kind of the vision for the presentation? So how this works with the movement and the projections and the biosensors and the plants?
The intention was to be immersive. So allow people or draw people in so that they can get grounded both in space and in community to sort of build. So it would have been a room filled with plants. That's like almost the beginning of everything that we've ever written or how we describe things, is to be surrounded both by plants and by visual and sound as well. There'd be movement while visuals are happening. So Leslie was going to, you know, do some live visuals while I was going to lead movement. And then we wanted to move from that into discussion, also with visuals, and to draw our awareness in, but also to move into that more reflective and also challenging space, hopefully to, you know, again, build a dialogue together and sort of consider, you know, various questions about the environment and about technology in the environment and, you know, our practices in general. And there's the presentation aspect of it, the visual and the movement, and then there's the discussion and community building, sort of a quieter, meditative end.
Yeah, I think, again, like Ashley was saying, all of our applications begin with, or all of our discussions about our project begin with, in a room of plants. But now I'm thinking like outside, amongst the trees. Yeah, it's always based, it's like you're in the plant experience, you are being guided by Ashley's voice. You hear our soundscape, which is also influenced by plants. You see the visuals of the pulsing and the transforming of plant video. So the data coming through from the plant is connected to a particular visual effect. I'm simply like changing which video the plants are changing. So perhaps we have sampled videos from the plants in the room. Perhaps the sample videos are from the trees that we are seeing around us. And as the plants are moving with the humans, they are sending these signals that are being projected on the screens all around us. And then after we've had a chance to move together, we're sitting in a circle and maybe we've worked with like different community groups and we have different people telling us about
C. C is for
cauliflower,
confusion, creation,
pickle, K
K-Thor.
Kitten.
Cam.
See, wait. Fianrufsig. U. Unbearable.
U is for underground.
Oh, yeah.
Umbrella.
T. Trite.
Tremendous.
Torment.
Tire.
C. K.
I can't think of a U one. T.
T.
F is for famous.
Fun. Fumble. M is for Montreal.
Red alert. The spread of COVID-19 is at a critical level in your area or a neighboring region. Getting together with family or friends is prohibited, and traveling to other regions is not recommended. More targeted restrictions have been put into place to limit the spread and prevent a lockdown. Learn more at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Continue to wash your hands, keep a 2-meter distance, and wear a mask when physical distancing is impossible. We need to act now. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.